Peer, this is a rehearsal read of the current draft speaker's script for your IP8999 final presentation to Plurilock, dated July 8, 2026. It's not a polished production. It's the script spoken out loud so you can hear how it lands. As you listen, note anything that feels flat, any transition that needs work, any place where the argument would land harder with a stronger anchor in evidence, and any speaker handoff that feels awkward for the assigned attribution. Target spoken length is about 25 minutes. Live session is Thursday, July 23rd. Here we go. Good afternoon, and thank you all for making time for this. My name is Pierre Sagian. Alongside me today are Martin Baker, Dewey Wen, and Jason V.A. Elliott-Saunders. Together, we are Team A in the University of Fredericton's Executive MBA Capstone, the Enterprise Integration Project. Over the last 14 weeks, Plurilock has been the organization we've had the privilege to study, and today is where we hand back what we learned. Before anything else, we want to thank Manuel, Dave, Ian, Vera, and Andy for the depth of access you gave us. 5 interviews, 40-plus documents shared, honest conversations about what works and what doesn't. That openness is what made a real diagnosis possible, and we don't take it for granted. Here is how the next 25 minutes will go. We'll introduce the team and the framework we used. We'll walk through the findings, one strength, and the priority opportunities for each of the 6 categories. We'll show a suggested path forward. Then we'll open it up for questions, which is where we hope most of the value of this session lives. Let me set the frame briefly before we get into the substance. The 4 of us come from different lanes into this program. Martin brings a background in operations and workforce systems. Zui brings an engineering and measurement mindset. Jason is a delivery lead inside Plurilock, and his role on our team has been to keep us honest about what the artifacts actually mean in practice. My own lane is strategy and product. What that combination gave us was 4 different sets of eyes on the same set of systems, and a habit of arguing until the diagnosis held up under all 4. The numbers behind today, 14 weeks of work, 127 documents reviewed, including source files, offering catalogs, policies, filings, and board materials. 5 stakeholder interviews with Manuel, Dave, Vera, Ian, and a second session with Manuel. And 3 intermediate reports, submitted and returned with faculty feedback along the way. What you see today is the integrated read across all 6 categories, not a repeat of any single report. One word on the framework, because it shapes everything that follows. We assessed Plurilock against 6 categories drawn from Baldridge lineage work: customers and products, operations and production, workforce, measurement and analysis, strategic leadership and governance. Each category carries 5 diagnostic questions, 30 questions total. The questions are non-prescriptive, meaning they ask how Plurilock does something, not what the answer should look like. For every question, we assess the design of the method used against 4 criteria. Is it systematic? Does it learn and improve? Is it aligned with strategy and culture? And is it integrated with the other systems that depend on it? We assess the design of the methods, not the outputs. That distinction matters. 99% customer satisfaction is not evidence of a strong system if it depends on individual talent rather than repeatable process. We stay disciplined about that throughout. That's the frame. Now to the findings. For each of the 6 categories, we're going to present 1 flagship strength followed by the priority opportunities. There are more strengths and more opportunities in the full report, and every one of the 30 opportunities has its own slide in the appendix we can turn to if you want to go deeper on any of them during Q&A category 1, customers and products. The flagship strength here is the way Plurilock translates customer cybersecurity requirements into service offerings. This runs on standardized intake questionnaires, statements of work, service blueprints, level of effort estimates, and phased project plans. The approach is repeatable. It is used across engagements, and new offerings get assembled from existing components rather than built from scratch each time. It is aligned with the services-led, product-enabled positioning the firm has committed to, and integrated across sales intake, delivery leadership, technical experts, and partner roadmaps. Of everything we assessed, this is the capability most worth preserving in any future redesign of the delivery model. The priority opportunity in Category 1 is how customer segments get identified. The gap we observed is that there isn't a systematic approach to identifying segments by their differing requirements or defining the listening methods for each. The way this shows up in practice is that segment choices depend on the individual sellers. The consequence, and this is what makes it a priority rather than a nice to have, is that leadership can't confidently decide which regulated markets warrant dedicated value propositions, or where to direct service line investment across the Aorora East, Aorora West, and Integra operating units. There is peer-reviewed literature on this. Mora Cortez and colleagues in 2021 lay out a 4-activity business-to-business segmentation process that could serve as a design resource. An integrated project management company gives us a working example of a professional services firm using industry and region-specific summaries to identify and periodically reassess which segments to pursue. Zui picks up here. Category 2, operations and production. The flagship strength is how Plurilock plans and organizes delivery. Every engagement gets a project manager. The work runs through standardized level of effort and work breakdown structures, statements of work, phased plans, a responsibility accountability matrix, and a service blueprint that carries a timeline, an effort matrix, a reference architecture, and a risk register. This is aligned with the strategy of responsive, rapid service deployment, and integrated with the sales intake process on one side and the delivery lead who owns execution on the other. This discipline is what lets the firm scope, price, and mobilize engagements quickly as it scales. There are two priority opportunities in Category 2. The first is how suppliers and technology partners get selected. There isn't a systematic approach to identifying and selecting them. Inclusion follows sales-led sponsorship rather than defined evaluation criteria. The consequence is that the quality of the third-party products and services embedded in Plurilock's delivery goes unmanaged, and that puts the quality customers experience at risk. As a design resource, M.O. Enchaka and colleagues in 1998 laid out a framework of success factors for strategic supplier alliances, including a formal selection process, information quality, and joint problem solving. Stellar Solutions offers an example of a professional services firm that decides which work to source externally against defined criteria, including whether the work leverages a core competency and delivers unique customer value. The second priority in Category 2 is in process measurement of delivery. With on-time delivery as essentially the only in-process signal today, quality drift goes undetected while an engagement is still correctable. That limits the firm's ability to proactively manage delivery and raises the likelihood of dissatisfied customers. Eneeli and colleagues in 2005 define a performance measurement system as the metrics that quantify the efficiency and effectiveness of an organization's actions. That gives you a way to measure delivery at the process level, not only through outcomes. Stellar Solutions again illustrates what this looks like operationally, in process measures and leading indicators inside the work processes themselves, catching problems before they reach the customer. Martin picks up here. Category 3, workforce. The flagship strength is how Plurilock measures turnover, retention, and individual performance. The HR dashboard tracks tenure, turnover cycle, and consultant to employee conversion, and segments departures by reason, type, and length of service. Alongside that, individual scorecards weight 70% of each rating to business results. This aligns individual performance with enterprise financial outcomes, and it integrates workforce data into executive reviews. The firm has actually used it to act. A turnover analysis prompted a workload reallocation. That's the mark of a measurement system that isn't just running, it's changing decisions. Two priority opportunities in Category 3. The first is workforce capability and capacity. There isn't a systematic approach to identifying capability requirements or forecasting capacity. What that means in practice is that capacity planning is reactive rather than strategic. The firm can't match its workforce capability and numbers to the delivery heavy critical services shift it is deliberately making, and it staffs engagements as needs arise rather than ahead of them. Yort and colleagues, in 2019, provide a strategic workforce planning model built for consultancies, connecting anticipated demand to the size and composition of the future delivery workforce. Stellar Solutions illustrates planned surge capacity through a standing pool of experienced part-time advisors, maintained for specialized and peak demand. The second priority in Category 3 is talent attraction and recruiting. There isn't a systematic approach here either. Access to scarce cybersecurity, talent rests on individual department heads and agencies' relationships. That access disappears when those individuals move on, and it leaves the delivery model's core input unreliable. WILDEN and colleagues in 2010 offer a signaling framework for shaping the clarity, credibility, and consistency of what an employer presents to prospective candidates. Integrated Project Management Company illustrates a defined recruiting program where required skills are identified at the requisition stage, and candidates are evaluated against the firm's culture through a multi-step interview process. ZWI picks up here. Category 4, Measurement and Analysis. The flagship strength is the way Plurilock manages short-term liquidity and long-term capital decisions. There is a 13-week cash runway run through a daily treasury function, weekly accounts receivable and payable, and live treasury dashboards. On the capital side, defined hurdle rates, sensitivity and scenario analyses, an independent banker review, and a 30-item acquisition due diligence checklist. The system learns through semi-annual budget revisions and post-acquisition cost reviews that feed forward into future assumptions. And it aligns with the profitability and cash runway objectives and with the board-approved strategy. The priority opportunity in Category 4 is analyzing performance measures as an interconnected system. Today, there isn't a systematic approach to modeling how workforce, operational, customer, and financial results drive one another. Without those modeled relationships, the assumptions behind the path to profitability remain untested. Leadership can't see how improvements in one organizational system move performance in another, and that limits enterprise-wide learning and strategic decision-making. A.B. Ernethy and colleagues in 2005 offer a method for constructing causal performance maps from the operating knowledge managers already hold. Stellar Solutions illustrates a professional services firm whose leadership reads performance data in relation to itself through trend analysis, root cause analysis, and correlations rather than in isolation. Martin picks up here for Categories 5 and 6. Category 5, Strategic Leadership. The flagship strength is how Plurilock identifies, evaluates, and approves acquisition-based strategic initiatives. Candidates are filtered against defined growth strategy screening factors, evaluated with a 30-item due diligence checklist, and approved through board-level review. What matters is that this has been applied consistently. Across completed acquisitions and a divestiture, we could see repeatable application rather than case-by-case decisions. And it integrates with the capital investment system and with governance oversight through the audit committee. The priority opportunity in Category 5 is measuring and tracking strategic initiatives once they're approved. There isn't a systematic approach to managing them for on time, on budget, and in scope completion across the portfolio. As a result, leadership can't see schedule, scope, and cost across the initiative portfolio in one place, and slippage gets identified late, after it has already affected delivery or cost. Meskendahl in 2010 frames project portfolio management as the discipline that connects strategy to delivery. That's a design resource for cross-functional initiative tracking at the enterprise level. Stellar Solutions illustrates a cadenced review system that tracks performance against the strategic plan and periodically evaluates the planning process itself. Category 6, Governance. The flagship strength is the approach to compliance, and it has both a proactive and a reactive side. The proactive side embeds technical mechanisms in finance, sales, IT, and operational systems of record, with real-time alerting for high-risk transactions, multi-jurisdiction legal templates with exception tracking, and required training. The reactive side combines a published whistleblower program with prompt action on internal reports. It is aligned with Plurilock's regulated public sector base and its SOCH 2 Type 2 commitments, and it integrates with governance through the audit committee charter. The priority opportunity in Category 6 is enterprise risk guidance and oversight. There isn't a systematic approach here. Risk oversight runs on management judgment and informal escalation rather than a defined process. Significant threats, therefore, get recognized late or handled inconsistently, and the board can't rely on a consistent view of the risks it is accountable for. Gordon, Loeb, and Tseng in 2009 provide a contingency framework for enterprise risk management matched to firm size and complexity, which is a design resource well-suited to Plurilock scale. Integrated Project Management Company illustrates a services firm that embeds risk assessment in its planning process and escalates significant risks for executive review. Pierre picks up here for the path forward. What follows is our suggested reading of what to do first. Faculty was clear with us that we don't prescribe solutions, so what you'll see are two lenses on the opportunities, not a prescription. This first table shows all 30 opportunities we identified across the full report in question code order. Each carries a rough cost estimate and a rough benefit estimate on a 1-3 scale. We want to be careful here. These are rough estimates. This is not a priority ranking. It's the input that lets us plot them on the next slide. This is the concept we borrowed for the plotting, four quadrants. High benefit and low cost is the just do it quadrant. High benefit and high cost is worth doing, but it requires investment and sequencing. Low benefit and low cost is worth considering. Low benefit and high cost is not worth it. The goal isn't to sort every opportunity, it's to make the shape of the choice visible. Here are 8 of the 30 opportunities plotted against that matrix, the ones the team judged most worth surfacing to this audience. 2 of them, the interconnected performance analysis in Category 4 and the supplier and partner selection in Category 2, land in the just do it quadrant, high benefit relative to their cost. Several others cluster in the medium cost, medium to high benefit space, meaning they warrant investment but also warrant sequencing. And 1, workforce capability and capacity, is our highest benefit item, at the cost of being the most demanding to build out. Here is our suggested sequence for roughly the next 12 months. It is grounded in that cost versus benefit reading and in the dependencies between opportunities. Some lower scoring opportunities come earlier because they are prerequisites for later work. Start where benefit is high and cost is low. That's the interconnected performance analysis in Category 4 and the supplier and partner selection in Category 2. Building both of those first pays for itself quickly and unblocks decisions downstream. Then build the measurement foundation the later work depends on. Customer segmentation in Category 1 and in process delivery measurement in Category 2. Neither is expensive, but both make the harder investments actionable rather than speculative. Next, invest in the higher cost, high benefit capabilities behind the delivery heavy shift the firm is deliberately making. That's workforce capability and capacity, and talent attraction and recruiting, both in Category 3. These take longer and cost more, but they're the ones that match the workforce to where the strategy is going. And in parallel with all of that, strengthen enterprise oversight. Strategic initiative tracking in Category 5, and enterprise risk oversight in Category 6. Neither should wait for the operational work to finish. They compound the value of everything else. We want to be explicit that this is a suggested reading. Plurilock knows its own context better than we do, and the sequencing here is a starting point for conversation, not a plan we're handing you. That's the substance. Before we open it up, one last thanks. Manuel, Dave, Ian, Vera, and Andy. 5 hours of interviews, dozens of documents, and honest answers on questions that are not always comfortable to answer. That access is what made the diagnosis possible, and it's what will make the Q&A that follows useful rather than theoretical. Faculty told us the Q&A is usually the most interesting part of these sessions, and we've built the deck for it. Every one of the 30 opportunities we identified has its own slide in the appendix, with the underlying question, the gap we observed, the consequence, and the design resources we found. If you want to go deeper on any of them, we can pull the slide up and go from there. With that, we'd love to hear what you're thinking. Where should we start? End of rehearsal. Notes and iteration cycle continue.